He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's Thursday already. It's the June 3rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We're off to a sloppy start here in the market, but it is improving since the open. The Dow right now is down 160 points to 34,444. The NASDAQ taking it on the chin again today. It's down 160 points. I'll tell you what, those high-tech, high-PE, high-price-to-sales stocks, just not a good place to be in 2021. The NASDAQ down 160 to 13,600. That works out to a 1.2% drop. Okay, compare that with the Dow, which is down about a half a percent. So those tech stocks are down more than double by a percentage basis what the Dow stocks are. S&P is down 28 points, 4179. The small caps, well, there's your worst performer of the day, 1.75% today, down 40 points. I got to believe it's the taper talk, okay? We're getting some of that now. About the ETFs that the Fed owns and the bonds that the Fed owns, talking about starting to shrink their balance sheet somewhat. Crude oil down 11 cents to 68.72. Gold is getting killed today. The dollar is up very strongly today, and that's hurting gold. It's hurting copper. It's hurting steel. Gold is down $41 per ounce to $18.68. And the bond market, you're up a couple ticks there to 1.62. And Bitcoin bucking the trend. It's up $1,100, but clear down at $38,636. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, you know what? There's a lot going on here today. The market was down quite a bit more here when it started, and it is improving somewhat. I'm going to say the biggest factor that I see in the market today is a big jump in the U.S. dollar. And when the U.S. dollar jumps, that creates a sell-off in the emerging market stocks like China. It creates a sell-off in the copper stocks like Freeport-McMoRan. It creates a big sell-off in the gold stocks like Newmont Mining or Agnico Eagle, and it causes a big sell-off in the steel stocks such as Nucor or Cleveland Cliffs, and that's what we're seeing across the board today. But, of course, these areas of the market have had really strong rallies here recently. And the other area that's really getting whacked today are the technology, big tech. I just looked at some of the worst charts to bring to your attention. Let's get this out of the way early, all right, the worst. Apple chart looks terrible to me. Tesla chart looks terrible. If Tesla breaks that 200-day moving average, which is right around 600, look out below on Tesla. I'm also seeing weakness in Amazon, Autodesk. Of course, Kathy Wood's funds are down about 2.2%, her ARKK, BHP, a basic material stock. The Chinese stocks look weak, Baidu, copper, a very weak chart today only, CPER, and I think that's because of the jump in the dollar. Disney's an ugly-looking chart. A very critical member there of the Dow. So that's my first blush at the markets here today. Yesterday was a dull day in the market. Boy, I'll tell you what is going on? You know, there's a big change, okay, that last year you would look at the futures, you know, the night before, and they'd be up 127 points, and the NASDAQ futures would be up 89, and Bitcoin would be flying. It's totally different here in 2021. I look at the futures these days. The Dow's up 5 points, you know. The NASDAQ's up 3 points. It doesn't get you too excited about the next day. We've just got really dull, the doldrums, summer doldrums. I don't know what it is, but this is definitely a very much more dull market than last year. We had a small sell-off in the basic material stocks yesterday, which hit the value sector. That is kind of continuing here today. I see a very strong dollar today, a strong move there, and that is also impacting the commodities. The brightest spot in the market, the meme stocks. Okay, so do you want to go out and buy AMC stock because it's the most talked about stock on Reddit with Wall Street Bets? Well, that's up to you, okay? That's a totally different ball game. That thing can turn on a dime. You can get hurt badly doing that. But several more stocks have joined that meme trade, and it would appear that some of the hedge funds have gotten into the meme trade. Now, I'm a guy who requires fundamentals and valuation and momentum. Now, these stocks may have the momentum part of the equation, but where's the value part of the equation? It's just not there. It's completely absent. These stocks are so overvalued, it's not even funny. And of course, these stocks, these companies are taking advantage of these big run-ups in their stock price to float more shares. It's not a pretty sight when these things start to turn. When valuation reality starts to set in, it's going to be really, really ugly on the way down. Jobless claims, pretty good report. That's the best report we've seen in quite some time. 406,000, is that what it was, 406,000? That's the best number, I think, since jobless claims are 385,000. 385,000, I was looking at last Thursday. That definitely is the lowest number. That's the first time we've been under 400,000. Of course, there shouldn't be any jobless claims right now. There's jobs everywhere. How can anybody be getting laid off? They're begging for people to come to work right now. And, of course, we get the precursor to tomorrow's non-farm payroll report. We get the ADP jobs report, and that came in much better than expected, 978,000. After a total wipeout number, 4 weeks ago, 650,000 was expected. It came in at 978,000, and the market continues to improve here as I talk, so I'll keep talking. The Dow is now down just 107 points, so very good ADP number and a very good jobless claims number. Now, here's, I think, the biggest issue facing the market today. The Fed's Harker starts to thinking about tapering bond purchases. He said it may be time at least to think about. Okay, so now we're trading on thoughts of the Fed, what they're thinking. This is how crazy this market has gotten from time to time. The Fed's $120 billion per month pace of treasury bond and mortgage-backed security purchases, he says it's time to at least think about tapering. And that sends a shiver through the market. It sends reminiscence of the taper tantrum of 2008 or so. But then he goes on to say this is not something we're going to do suddenly. But don't forget, they're thinking about it, and that's enough to get the market rattled. He says with the economy recovering and a large amount of fiscal support that Congress has provided, there is definitely upside risk to increased inflation. Oh, absolutely. And that's where the Fed would begin first. I mean, they wouldn't necessarily raise interest rates right away, but they would begin with the tapering. Right now, they're at a pace of buying $120 billion per month of treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities, MBS. And that's where they would begin by cutting back on those purchases. Let's see. And also last week, Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan said potential excesses in the housing market and other inflation signals may indicate that the central bank should start slowing its asset purchases. Well, that will be the first shot fired across the bow. They'll start to slow those asset purchases, and then they'll actually stop the asset purchases, and then they'll start selling the assets, and then they'll start talking about an interest rate hike. That's kind of how this could proceed in the coming weeks and months. Now, when we come back, this meme trade is just out of control right now. I don't like it. I don't think the regulators have a good handle on it. And you've got AMC's CEO giving these meme traders free popcorn and movie tickets to keep buying the stock. I don't like it. I don't think that's how markets should work. I think markets should work on fundamentals. Now, I know there's those that would argue and say, let the markets, you know, trade freely. Well, I think when there's a lot of people that are going to get burnt really, really badly, maybe the market shouldn't trade so freely, right? This is Bill Gunderson. We're going to talk meme trade when we come back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market continues to improve here. Dow is now up or down just 94 points. It was down 238 at one time. The NASDAQ is down 151, so it's also improved a little bit. The dollar seems to be a big issue today, big jump. I track UUP as my proxy for the U.S. dollar. The meme trade is thriving again in the retail sector. Oh, my goodness, it's going nuts. EXPR Express was up 9% yesterday. Beyond Bed Bath & Beyond to Infinity and Beyond. It was up 20% yesterday. How about the red-hot growth stock Build-A-Bear Workshop? You ever sat down and built a teddy bear? I haven't. I've seen it. They have one at Myrtle Beach. They have one at Myrtle Beach. I saw that people doing it. It's kind of a neat concept, but it's in a big growth stock. Been around for a while. Analysts continue to be cautious on these mall stocks due to valuation, even as consumer spending is on the rise. AMC, get this. AMC stock was halted yesterday after a 92% surge. It was halted for volatility, up 92% in a surge, over and above earlier gains. Okay, let's check in on AMC today. AMC, obviously, a big theater operator. Look at that chart yesterday, like a rocket ship. Now it's down 12.5% today. Now, what are the fundamentals on AMC? They haven't made any money for the last 5 years, okay? Popcorn. So here's their sales over the last four quarters, minus 99%, minus 91%, minus 89%, minus 84%. Here's their earnings over the last four quarters. They're going to lose about $20. They're going to lose actually $16 per share this year. And this is a $53, $28 billion stock. Horrible, horrible, horrible fundamentals. But it doesn't matter. That's how the meme stocks, they don't care. They look completely beyond fundamentals. This is a gang teaming up on running a stock higher. Now, this is what the penny stock brokers used to do, right? Several of them would get together and promote a stock, and they'd all be buying, and their buying would drive the price higher. And then when it was time to cash in, it was a house of cards that would collapse. Volume in AMC yesterday was 410 million shares, making it the biggest intraday move since the famous January 2021 surge. AMC's market cap has now surpassed that of fellow meme stock favorite GameStop. Okay, let's check in on GameStop today. Is this healthy for the market? Well, I guess sports gambling, DraftKings, you can bet on just about anything these days. GameStop's down 8.3%. GameStop's a $259 stock. My valuation's about $15 per share on GameStop. But does that matter to the meme traders on Reddit? No. They're ganging up on these stocks and running them and trying to crush the short sellers, okay? Today, I've said Bed Bath & Beyond. Let's check in on Bed. BBBY was up 40% yesterday. Oh, look at that chart. Now it's down 23% today. Okay, is this the kind of game you want to play? Well, go ahead, be my guest. Workhorse Group soars as Reddit-fueled meme trade extends. Well, yesterday, I did see very unusual activity in Workhorse. Okay, it's up 41% today. This is the company that lost the contract, U.S. Postal Service. This is also a stock that Kathy Wood owns at ARK, A-R-K-K. They haven't sold anything yet. They're going to have a truck, an all-electric truck, along with many others. The other one I saw very unusual trading in yesterday was Nikola, N-K-L-A, which is kind of a scandal plague stock, but that doesn't stop the meme traders from rolling in there and having a lot of fun. The other one I noticed yesterday was BB, which is BlackBerry, which at one time dominated the mobile phone industry. It was way ahead of its time. It was way ahead of Apple. It was way ahead of Samsung. And it's up another 20% today, symbol BB. So go ahead, play them. I don't care. I'm not playing them. Whitney Tilson calls a short-term top on AMC, GameStop, and other Reddit stocks. How do you call a top on these things? I don't know. When they're trading purely on ganging up and momentum. Whitney Tilson is calling a top in GameStop, AMC, BlackBerry, Bed Bath & Beyond, Cost, Nikola, Workhorse, Nano, how did he get in here? NanoX, which is NNOX, and Plug Power. Tilson is a pretty well-known guy in the industry. Tilson says, mark my words, these stocks will fall 25% within a month. Well, they're kind of doing that today. 50% lower within 3 months, and 75% within a year. He says, I will be tracking them and report back to you periodically. In other words, Tilson would say, short the heck out of these stocks. The problem with shorting them, you got to sit through a day when AMC's up 90% and you're short the stock. So what's the next stock they're going to pick up on? Well, you can pull up a list of the most shorted stocks. The most shorted stocks. What are they right now? Well, you've got Clover Health, C-L-O-V, Workhorse, which is in play today. And guess what? Blink Charging. I'm seeing Blink Charging make a charge today, B-L-N-K. So you say, why is it going up? Because it's a great stock? Because it's making a lot of money, because it has great prospects, because the fundamentals are solid? No. It's going up because it's going up. That's it. RC Moto, FUV, having a good day. Now you move over to the New York Stock Exchange. You can look at Virgin Galactic and QuantumScape. Okay, if that's the game you want to play, have at it. Now, speaking of high-valued stocks, this is a stock. Now, this is about times and seasons, I guess, in the market. Last year was a time and a season for high PE, high growth stocks. We had some triples and quadruples last year in the market, and the Teladocs of the world, and the Etsy's of the world, and the Fivers of the world. This is a terrible environment, a terrible time and a season for stocks like this. Yet Kathy Wood, loading, backing up the truck and buying Etsy. I say she's a year late. She obviously doesn't care about valuation, pays no attention to it. That's her thing. It's not my thing. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, we've got the market down 118 right now. That puts the Dow at 34,481. The S&P 500 is down 26 points right now to 4,182. The NASDAQ has improved quite a bit. It's down 144. It's down just 1% right now. Well, you know, this earnings season is over. That was for the second quarter of 2021, and it was sensational. No, it was the first quarter, I'm sorry, of 2021. It was sensational. It was so sensational that it had quite an impact on this year's S&P 500 earnings estimates, next year's S&P 500 earnings estimates, and now we have a look, our first estimates coming in for 2023. You say, why does that matter, Bill? How in the world do we have any clue as to what the economy and what corporate America will look like in 2023? Well, the two biggest axioms that I have on the market are, number one, the market follows earnings. Stocks follow earnings, and not only do they follow earnings, they follow earnings expectations. The market is now looking ahead to 2022 and even beyond that to 2023. We saw the prime example of that in February of 2020 when COVID reached its scariest moments, when it looked like it could turn into the Black Plague, take half the world's population. Well, that wasn't going to happen. The economy was going to rebound. This thing was going to run its course. And the market was looking ahead in February of last year, 12 to 18 months. And what did the market see? The market saw the economy recovering. It was right. Market's usually pretty right, you know. Saw the earnings coming back strongly, demand coming back, people going back to work, and the market was right. Well, okay, that's all been priced into the market, and then some. Now the market's looking ahead to 2022 and 2023. The most important chart that I show in my newsletter every single week is the earnings chart going back to 2005, year by year. Earnings growth and earnings expectations, okay? 2023 seems like a long ways off, but that's what the market is looking to and trading on right now. So you better continue to look ahead at earnings expectations. I was right in February of last year. I said, you know, the market's looking forward 12 to 18 months. It likes what it sees. This is a good time to be buying. But what about now? This is 2021. This is June. We're almost halfway through the year. What do the prospects look like going forward? Well, that's one of the most important parts of the entire newsletter. It's called the Macro Outlook. Very, very critical. That's been my best indicator since 2005 for the direction of the market and my own macro outlook. The macro outlook that I have on the market dictates everything that I do in the market, okay? As long as those earnings and earnings expectations continue to rise, the market's going to follow right along, unless it gets too expensive. when those expectations start to drop, okay, which they did in February of last year, they dropped very rapidly, and the market reacted very rapidly. And then the market, you know, things started, the dust started to settle, and the market started to look beyond that quick, unexpected drop in earnings, which is a one-year drop only, and started to look ahead. So, you know, if you don't get anything else out of my weekly newsletter that I've been writing for the last 21 years, look at the macro outlook. I am a market timer. I do believe in market timing. Having said that, I've been in the market for the most part 100% since 2009. Why is that? Because earnings have been going up every year since 2009, when those earnings bottomed out at $53 per share. This year we're expected to make $190 per share. Why do you think the Dow is hitting almost 35,000? It was 3,000 when I got into the business. Now it's 35,000. Okay, that's pretty good. You can say, well, why are you a market timer? You should have just bought and held. Well, because in the year 2000, the NASDAQ went down 79%. And most of the people that I manage money for across the nation, they're a little bit older. I would say they're near retirement or they're retired. They can't afford to take an 80% hit. That's why I do think that some market timing, when our economy starts to go into a recession, which right now there's no signal of that, there's no sign of that. You can look at the yield curves right now, the 3-month yield curve, the 12-month yield curve. They're not pointing to a recession. Right now, if anything, the economy is too hot. It's hard to get labor. Prices are going up. There's a shortage of raw materials. The supply chain is all messed up. They can't catch up. But we'll catch up eventually, and the market, the dust will settle, and we'll start to get back to more of a normal market. But right now, like I said, the market is trading on 2023 S&P 500 earnings estimates. You take all the companies in the S&P 500, and you do the math, and you come up with one number, an earnings per share estimate for the aggregate S&P 500. Listen to Bill Gunderson. This is the most important indicator of all. Now, what gets investors in trouble when they go elsewhere to look at their own indicators? A lot of people use their gut feeling, their opinions. I've learned that you can't invest on your opinions, you know. I've heard Peter Schiff for years and years and years investing in his opinion that the Fed and the fiat currency and gold is going to soar and the dollar is going to collapse. Well, in the meantime, the market's been hitting new highs while he's been calling for that doomsday scenario. Now, that doomsday scenario, more than likely someday, will probably play out. But in the meantime, you can't invest in your opinion that it's going to happen someday. You have to wait for the earnings to start to crumble for the S&P 500, and we're not seeing any signs of that. We're going to see record earnings in the S&P next year, and we have to also take into account a more than likely revising of the corporate tax by the Biden administration from the current 20% back up to 25% to 28%. And that's going to take a little bite out of earnings. It's going to take about a 10% bite out of earnings. So you have to look at that scenario also. But having said that, we're looking for record earnings next year in the S&P 500. Now, my newsletter, which I write every week, not only has that macro outlook, and I've been saying for the last many years, you should be in the market right now. I think the dangerous place right now is the bond market. I don't like this asset allocation theory that it should be based on age. If you're 70 years old, you should have 70% in bond funds. I say phooey on that. You have to look at the world situation right now. We're in a rising interest rate environment. You've got a Fed that's talking about tapering. You've got a Fed that is probably looking to shrink their balance sheet, sell off some of their assets. You've got a Fed that wants to is going to have to raise interest rates at some point in time because of an economy that, if anything, is too hot right now. That does not bode well for bond funds. Now, I have no problem with people owning individual bonds and holding them to maturity. But a bond fund, you don't have that luxury. You're at the mercy of interest rates, and interest rates are more than likely the path of least resistance from here is undoubtedly upwards in interest rates. So I personally don't believe in having any bond funds at the current time. Individual bonds held to maturity, that's a different matter. But bond funds, I wouldn't own any bond funds right now. Equities are still the place to be, which brings up the other big point here. Equities is a very large asset class. You've got foreign equities, you've got mid-cap, small-cap, micro-cap, international. But the biggest division right now is value versus growth. This is a market that greatly favors value equities for the first time in many years. Don't fight the tape. Don't fight the trend. Growth stocks are not the place to be. ETFs, mutual funds, value rules in 2021. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show on this Thursday. Hey, I will be working on my newsletter today. Hey, wow, the Dow's only down 58. That's improved quite a bit since the start. I'll be working on the newsletter today. We continue to move up in rank. In tip ranks, okay? You go to tipranks.com and you can type in Bill Gunderson and see how we've done versus all the other bloggers and authors and stock pickers out there. I pick a stock once a week or two times a month. We write about it. We put our neck on the line and we let tip ranks, you know, they keep the stats on all of this. All of their authors out. We're in the top 4%. It means there's 96 people in line behind us, and there's only four. And I'm after that front of the line, you know. I never give up. Pretty persistent fella. Anyways, let's see if we can come up with something here as a featured stock. Wow. Wow, this market has improved considerably. Woo! Since the market, we did BorgWarner yesterday. It's having a really good day. I continue to like the auto sector, okay? I'm going to name a sector that I like. I think the electrification of the automobile is going to spread far and wide, and I don't think that you need to own Tesla at those multiples that it's trading at. To have exposure to the auto sector. Let's not forget about all of the component makers out there. And we talked about BorgWarner yesterday, BWA. It's having another good day today. I think I'll feature another one. And let's not forget that this is a value market. Okay? You go ahead. You can force yourself, you know, or you can have at it buying the high-growth stocks that did so well last year that are just going nowhere this year. In fact, many of them are down 25 to 40%. I'm going to feature Lear Corporation today, L-E-A, Lea. Remember that song, Lea? Was it Donnie Iris? A one-hit wonder. Lear Corporation is headquartered in Southfield, Michigan. Well, I think yesterday we featured BorgWarner, which is headquartered in Auburn Hills, Michigan. Now, these are stocks that I haven't used as featured stocks on the Best Stocks Now show for a long period of time because they tend to be cyclical. They tend to be not exciting, like new breakthroughs in technology. Although a lot of these companies are very quietly making breakthroughs of their own, and they're also heavily involved in the electrification of the automobile. Is there anything wrong with the stock that's making a new high today, breaking out through resistance, while many other stocks are breaking down below support? I like to buy into strength. I don't like to buy into weakness. So momentum is one of my requirements. Lear, L-E-A, is a $12 billion market cap company. $12 billion market cap company. It pays a little bit of a yield, 0.5%. 0.5%, okay? Now, when we look at the Best Stocks Now app, which is a whole different subject. I think tomorrow I'll do a segment on the beststocksnowapp.com and how it has aided me immensely. Seeing that sudden rotation in February from value, or rather from growth to value, it was a rapid transition. It would make your head spin. It happened so quickly. Okay, so now let's look at the value criteria on Lear Corp. Let's begin with price to sales. That's a very important ratio this year. I'm basically looking for stocks that are trading right around 1x sales. LEA 0.66. 0.66. That's the price to sales ratio. Less than 1. Okay? Well, okay. I got to do it. Tesla, price to sales. 17x sales. Lear Corp, less than 1. Okay, the second one that I find to be very important this year is the PEG ratio, which is that growth at a reasonable price. I divide the forward PE into the growth rate for a PEG ratio. The forward PE on LEA is 10.7. Well, the market's 22 right now. That's the forward PE of the S&P 500, if you're using that as your baseline. Lear is trading at one half of that forward PE with a 16% growth rate forecast over the next 5 years. That's per year. And if I divide $10.72 into 15.7, I get a PEG ratio of 0.68, less than 1. So I've got a price-to-sales ratio less than 1. I've got a PEG ratio less than 1. And I got a stock. I have 5,819 stocks in my database. Well, right now, I would say anything within the top 500, 600, because I've added so many stocks, would be in play. BorgWarner is rated number 497 out of 5,819, and it is a stock, not BorgWarner, Lear. BorgWarner we featured yesterday. Lear Corp, LEA, is a stock that we own in our ultra growth portfolio. Now, how well has the ultra growth portfolio done? Well, you can get the newsletter and check it out. We publish that portfolio every single week. Every single week. In the newsletter, I'm an open book. There's no bells and whistles here. You can check it out in the newsletter, which I will be working on. We did add two stocks. I made two buys yesterday in the Ultra Growth portfolio, brand new buys that I've never talked about on the radio before that just came up on my screens in the beststocksnowapp.com. And I love the charts, and bam, I hit two yesterday to beef up those Ultra Growth portfolios. So anyways, if you'd like to sign up, I give 2 free weeks of the full newsletter, all the portfolios, the macro call. I am a market timer. What's my outlook on the macro for the market right now? It's there every week in the newsletter. The portfolios are there, all the buys and sells. You can get 2 free weeks by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.